This is the third podcast from Girl Missing, chapters 5 and 6. Chapter 5, Carla. The last week of September was hot and sunny. With the weather like that, I much preferred being at Jam's house to mine. The grass in his back garden was always long and soft, perfect for lying out on. The day after I'd read Mum's diaries, we rushed back there after school. I reckon we should be able to sit outside for at least an hour before Mum rang to demand I went home and did my homework. As I sat down on the grass, Jam emerged from the kitchen, carrying a bunch of bananas, 3 vegetarian sausages and several packs of biscuits. "So how far away from each other are Marchfield and Evanport?" he asked, ripping open one of the biscuit packets. "Not far, just a few centimetres on Rory's atlas." I tipped my face to the sunshine. "They're in different states, though." Jam carefully placed a veggie sausage between 2 whole wheat digestives. "What are you going to do?" he asked. "I don't know," I sighed. What options did I have? I couldn't talk to Mum and Dad, and I already knew no adoption agency would tell me anything without their approval. Marchfield wasn't even in this country, for God's sake. Everywhere I turned, there was a dead end. I detached a banana from the bunch and broke off the tip. "That all you're having?" I shrugged. "It's not like I'm a diet freak or anything, but I hate being so much bigger than the rest of my family. I mean, Mum's basically a bony elbow on legs. I'm even taller than Dad." Jam stretched out across the grass and bit into his sausage and biscuit sandwich. "You know, Lorenzo, it's a shame you can't remember all this stuff about your adoption. It would save an awful lot of time." I stared at him. For some reason, it had never occurred to me that the one place all the answers to my past could be found was inside my own head. The front door slammed. Jam sat up and groaned. "The lunatic has re-entered the asylum." A minute later, Carla poked her frizzy head round the back door. "I'm back from my colonic, darlings," I blushed. "Gross, Mum," Jam made a face. "Way too much information." Carla stepped out into the garden and fluffed up her hair. "Don't be so uptight, darling. I'm sure Lawrence heard it all before. What are you guys doing?" Her eyes twinkled. Jam's face went red. "Mom," he muttered. Carla winked at me. "Just so you know," she said, "I have a new client at 7:30, for which I will need absolute quiet." She padded inside again. Jam flopped back onto the grass. Could she be any more embarrassing? Last week I caught her telling that new games teacher how she'd unblocked some woman's energy through her big toe. I giggled. "Sounds painful," I said. Then my eyes snapped wide open. Maybe your mum could help me remember my early life. I mean, all that stuff she does, rebirthing, reflexology, hypnotherapy, it's got to... No way! Jam stared at me. "My mum's a nut job." "Come on, Jam," I wheedled. "It's worth a try. She might help me." "Help you go insane, you mean?" There was no convincing him, so I wandered into the kitchen myself. Carla was standing at a cupboard, pulling out a baking tray. "Can I ask you something?" I said. "Sure," she indicated I should sit down, then placed a bowl of an oily, orangey sludge in front of me. Last time I was here, Carla had made nut cutlets in the shape of parts of the body. We had to guess which they were. "A little biology homework, darlings." I wondered what the sludge in the bowl was. "Homemade hummus," Carla announced, handing me a wooden spoon. "Go on, stir," she said. I picked up the spoon and looked at her hesitantly. "So you've been thinking about your birth parents," Carla said, sitting down beside me. My jaw dropped. Did Jam say something? "Oh, for goodness sake." Carla shook her head so hard, all her frizzy curls trembled. "He's a man, strong and silent. God love him. No, it was Mrs. Worrybags." For a second, I had no idea who she meant. Then my eyes widened. "My mum told you," I said, incredulously. "Not exactly." Carla shook her bangles down her arm, but I used my intuition for a living. "I can see the signs." I picked up the wooden spoon and stirred the slimy orange hummus. "What signs?" Carla waved her hand vaguely. "Oh, darling, the point is, how can I help?" I could feel my face reddening. I loved the way Carla treated kids like adults, but the truth was, I was just a teensy bit scared of her. She was so different from my mum. I took a deep breath. Then it all tumbled out in a rush. I was wondering if you could hypnotize me and I could find out about my real mother, my real family, about before I was adopted. Carla arched an eyebrow. And what do you think Mrs. Worrybags would say to that? I blushed. Carla stared at me. She seemed torn, unsure what to do next. I suppose I could put you in a state of deep relaxation, she mused. It couldn't hurt. I stared back at her, now torn myself. What had seemed like an obvious thing to do in the glare of the afternoon sunshine now felt a bit silly, scary even. I opened my mouth to say perhaps it wasn't such a good idea, but Carla jumped up impulsively. Oh, come on then. If we're going to do it, let's do it now. My heart leapt into my throat. No, I squeaked. Not right now, not yet. Carla tossed back her hair. Better now than when you've had a chance to create internal blockages. Come on. She strode out of the kitchen. I had no choice but to follow. Chapter 6. The Memory. I realised I was in deep trouble when Carla started introducing me to her candles. This is Evie, and this is Elsie, and this is Tom, she said, pointing to three stout wax balls ranged in saucers across the low shelf. At least this is the home of their spirit flame. They are drawn to the fire, here in my room of utter peace. Let their spirits enfold you, take you into another space and time. Carla's room of utter peace, or room of utter piss, as Jan liked to call it, was at the top of the house, a converted attic. There was one tiny window, and the walls sloped down to the floor on both sides, giving the room a cosy, shadowy feel. The downstairs noises, TV and Jam's sisters arguing, fell away as Carla shut the door. She indicated I should sit on one of the low, purple cushioned chairs in the corner. Don't look so nervous, she smiled. I'm not going to brainwash you. What are you going to do? I said. I was totally regretting having said anything to her. What was I thinking? I didn't want anyone poking about inside my brain, seeing all my secret thoughts, especially not Jam's weirdo mum. I told you, I'm going to put you in a deep state of relaxation where you'll be able to remember things that are buried far down in your psyche. Will I know what you're doing? I asked. Of course. I'm just helping you to relax. You're in control the whole time. I sat back in one of the chairs. Carla began by getting me to imagine I was lying on my back in an empty field. Feel the touch of the grass under your hands. Smell the sweet, fresh air. Sounds weird, I know, but actually it was kind of fun. After a while, I found myself really getting into it. Carla cleared her throat. Her bangles jangled like wind chimes. I'm going to count backwards from 10, she said this in a low, soothing voice. With each number, you're going to let go, feel your body sink into a deep sleep, but your higher consciousness will stay awake and alert. 10, 9, 8. With each number, my body sank lower and lower into the chair. I felt deliciously soft and relaxed. 3, 2, 1. My whole body sank down deep against the chair. It was the strangest feeling. My body was asleep, but I was like totally awake. Good, good. Carla's voice was a soft drone. Now you are 3 years old. What do you see? At first, I didn't see anything. I tried imagining being 3. Teddy bears, ball pits, playing with dolls. Nothing. Geez, this was a total waste of time. I stopped trying and just let myself be heavy in the chair. Then, without warning, an image popped into my head. It was little, very little. I had a red plastic bucket in my hand. The ground was yellow. It was moving under my feet. Where are you now? Carla said. In my memory, I wriggled my toes. Sand. I was on a beach. The sun shone. The sea roared behind me. I waved at a woman further up the beach. The sun glinted on her hair, on her white dress. She looked like an angel, but she was real. She waved at me. She laughed. Then she turned away and ran towards some rocks. Her long black hair streamed down her back. I dropped the bucket. I had to follow her, find her, see her face. Lauren? Lauren? As Carla's voice brought me back to the present, the woman in my memory vanished. A sense of terrible, swamping loss flooded through me. I'm going to count up to 10, Carla said. With each number, your body will awaken. By the time I reach 10, you will be fully awake. 8, 9, 10. I opened my eyes. I was back in the room of utter peace. Evie, Elsie, and Tom were winking at me from their shelf. There was a crushing weight on my heart. Carla smiled encouragingly. How do you feel? She asked. Empty, sad, alone. Fine, I said. Nothing happened, though. Carla fluffed out her hair. Never mind, darling. We can always try again another time. I curled the memory up in my hands. I was Martha, and the dark-haired woman on the beach was my real mother. I had no proof, but in my heart I was sure. I couldn't stop thinking about her. Before, I'd wanted to know about my past. Now I totally needed to know. I lay awake most of that night, trying to decide what to do. It all came down to the Marchfield Agency. I checked on the net. It was still in Vermont. Taylor Tarson was still the director. I knew my adoption file would be stored there. Surely that would contain clues about what really happened. Yes, that file was my starting point. And if the agency wouldn't show it to me, I was just going to have to go to Marchfield and steal a look at it for myself, whatever it took.